This is Stefan Chavijan, and you have joined the Generous Life podcast, a podcast that we here at NCF South Florida have journeyed on for the last almost year, and we hope you've been listening to our segments. It's an opportunity for us to tell our story. Sometimes we tell our story by letting others tell their story, and today I'm welcome by two very dear friends, Doug Tuhill, who happens to be a board member, a client, as well as he's in the wealth management business, and then also Steve Scalisi, who's also known as Pastor Steve of Family Church, one of the campus pastors here in West Palm Beach, and he's also a client, and perhaps one day he will be a board member. And I'm eager to have them tell their story and what they've been doing together to encourage a generous life. I've been looking forward to this day for quite some time because I have the joy to interview two wonderful people that have been champions around what it means to not only be a Christian, but also what it means to live a generous life. As I mentioned earlier, Doug Tuhill, client and a board member, and Steve Scalisi, who's a pastor, they also happen to work together and they happen to co-labor together. And when you put the two of them together, all kinds of cool things happen. Today, we're going to spend most of our time talking about a book that they worked on together, collaborated, called A Generous Life, Unleashing Joy Through the Gift of Giving. So before we get into the book, maybe Doug, once you start, tell us a little bit about who you are, assuming nobody knows who you might be. And then Steve, why don't you follow that and tell us a little bit who you are. And then I'm eager to get into the guts of this book because the desire of today's podcast is for this to be very practical. As you listen to this over the next 20 minutes or so, you will come away with some very, very good practical applications on how to live a generous life and how to be a giving champion. So Doug, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I came to West Palm in 2006. I moved my family down here, my wife Cindy and my six children, all of whom were in school at the time. And I was a fund holder out of the Atlanta office. I immediately communicated with Stefan and wanted to be involved on a local level. And one of the very first people I met was Steve. So we have been friends for 17 years. We've worked together for about 13 or something like that. And after many, many years of being a fund holder, I became a board member last year.
It took you a long time to become a board member, but we're eager. I've been wooing you for years and years. Is that true?
Yeah, you need to work on your ask.
On my wooing? I'm not wooing very well. You also have a lot of kids.
Yes, I have six children. They range around now from 33 down to 19. My son is 33. And then I have five daughters thereafter who are now 26, 24, 24, but not twins, and 22 and 19. And they were all, the girls were teenagers at the same time. So I'm here to tell the story.
That's a whole nother story.
He served
us. That's another book. But you've always been a champion, as long as I've known you, you've always been a champion for the gospel, and you've always been a champion about what it means to live a generous life, and you've always been an exemplary husband and father, and it has always touched me and also inspired me. So I'm grateful to have you on this wonderful
podcast.
Great to
be here.
So, okay, now to Steve, which we now call Pastor Steve, mm-hmm. I understand.
Well, Steve is fine. Pastor Steve works too. I was born here in South Florida, which is very rare. So grew up in Lake Park and met my wife at Palm Beach Atlantic. We've been married 28 years, three daughters, 19 to 24. One's married and I have two in college. And come around May of 2024, I get really rich because my middle daughter, who costs the most, graduates college. and my oldest is graduating grad school. So I'll have more money to put into our donor advice fund.
You will.
April and I have been married 28 years, I mentioned, three girls. And about 13 years ago, felt called into going into seminary, going into ministry. I went kicking and screaming. And then it lasted about a month. And then I realized this is really what God's call is on my life. And so about 8 years ago, we planted a church up in Jupiter called Family Church Jupiter.
You hover on that calling a little bit, because one of the things we talk about on our podcast is calling. And would you label yourself a bivocational pastor?
I am bivocational. So Doug and I work together in wealth management, and I'd gone through LifeWork Leadership. I was one of the first classes in the Palm Beach County area, and we had a guy come speak to us named Oz Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
And Oz ruined my life because he talked about quiet prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I started practicing quiet prayer. And it was in that quiet prayer that I sensed the call to go into ministries. Mm-hmm. So I say that a little tongue-in-cheek that he ruined my life. Actually, it's blessed my life immeasurably. And but it was through that series of prayer and just walking through that and just seeing how God opened up all those doors. Like I said, I really did at first. I was kicking and screaming. I said, Lord, I'm a good workplace Christian. I serve my church. We give to our church. We're good church members. Like, why do I have to be a pastor?
Yeah.
And then now I know why, you know, 11 years later.
But you've got the gift. You've got the gift. And yes, Oz Guinness has a book called The Call.
The Call.
And in that book, he refers to two types of call, the primary call, which is our call to serve Christ, and then our secondary call, which is, okay, now what do I do? And both of you actually exemplify both of those calls. So again, thank you for being with us today. It's always a pleasure to hear a bit of your story, and I know there's so much more behind that. So let's get into your book. So how long ago did you guys write this book? What was the inspiration? Whose idea was it? How long did it take? Let's get through some of the mechanics of that.
Well, the inspiration of it actually came from one of the ministry leaders here in Palm Beach, because she mentioned to me in a conversation that Steve and I seemed to have a very different approach to giving, that it seemed to be much more intentional and much more planned out. And why was that? So we just actually sat down and put some notes together as to what were the basic things that we learned. And that became the script for a dinner, which became a book. And what was particularly important about the whole development of this is that we realized going through the process that we had an awareness about the big picture of giving that many, many other people didn't have. Mm-hmm. Even though they have a generous heart and they're believers, they didn't have the mechanics of how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve mentioned when he was just talking about his becoming a pastor and his calling, my calling in this area is that it took the first half of my Christian walk before I found out about National Christian Foundation and anything other than tithing and giving to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And giving to the church is great. But, you know, the Bible says to whom much is given, much is expected. And so we wanted to try to take what we've learned over a combined more than 60 years of giving and put it in one place so that someone who is where we were when we started can say, what do I do to become an extravagant giving champion? And the blueprint is right there.
Okay. And you've done a great job doing that. You mentioned NCF, the National Christian Foundation, in this. And in mentioning that, what makes NCF, which is a ministry, what makes it unique in the pool of ministries?
Well, it is completely different than all the other ministries that we're involved with, because the role, and why I got on the board, is because the role of NCF is not to be another ministry that asks donors for money.
Mm-hmm.
The role of the National Christian Foundation is to help donors to be more effective givers to the ministries that they already care about.
Exactly.
So the leverage for me of being involved in National Christian Foundation is enormous, because I have a limited amount of money, a limited amount of lifespan, how much I can give to ministries. But my hope and aspiration for the book is that people will read this and with amounts of money, way more than I would ever be able to give, can see a better and more effective way to do it. And National Christian Foundation is a great partner. And it was when someone in New York told me about National Christian Foundation in 2004 that my giving life really took off.
And you've had a lot of fun doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you've included your kids, which we'll get to in a minute. One of the things you all talk about, and maybe, Steve, you can take a stab at this, is you talk about, you've actually created some steps, you call it five steps to how the financially blessed can grow in their gift of giving. So there's a sense of we all have a gift of giving. Some of us have been blessed in a position where we have more than we need. We're beyond just getting food on our table and paying the rent because we recognize there's a large amount of people that that is their reality. But those who go, no, I've actually got a lot. You talk about creating some steps to develop that gift of giving. You don't just wake up one day and have it. You have to sort of mature it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think some people are naturally gifted that way and can be and can grow even more. And then there's others. It's just more of a process. And I remember when I first got saved, I was 16, and about maybe a year later, I was reading in the scriptures, and I came across this word called a tithe. It was a tithe, of course. And I asked my pastor about it, and he gave me a great explanation, and it really helped me. And so I'd say for a long time, I was a tither, much to Doug's point, right? I kind of knew it was good to give to my church, and you know, somebody was going on a mission trip, or I heard about another ministry, and we'd give them a little nugget, a little tip or something. And I think the key to this is looking and learning that tithing is really just the beginning. It's kind of the training wheels of giving, if you will. And it's a great concept. It's easy math if you're going to follow, you know, 10%.
It's 10%.
It's very easy, but it's a great starting place. And I'll meet folks, and Doug will meet folks, and they've got that excess. And we'll talk about, have you ever considered going beyond that and challenging God and testing God in this area? Then we also kind of want to make sure people understand there's some exploration that goes on with this, is right? And it's kind of part of the education process. And what's really neat now is there is no shortage of material out there, right? I mean, like we wrote this book. The book, I think it's great, but all we really did was just
summarize
things that we've learned from all these other people over the years. And I think about when I first got into biblical financial stuff, Larry Burkett was the king, right? Ron Blue and Dave Ramsey came along later. But I learned pretty much almost everything I know from those gentlemen, just reading their content, right? And getting to see that. And then I think too, creating a giving team, including your family. Nobody really thinks about that way, but who's surrounding you? Like who are your advisors? Are your advisors, not just your professional advisors, but like your friends? Are you hanging out with other generous people and encouraging one another? And then make an actual giving plan and then give according to that God-led plan. And we just think those things, and most people just really don't get past step one or two. And it's not their fault. They're not bad people. They genuinely, because when we talked about like, wow, I never really thought of it this way. You telling me I can be more generous because, you just asked Doug and Doug, you've had a lot of fun doing that, right? I don't ever meet unhappy, sad, generous people.
No,
and
that's true.
So, and even people that have been tithing, maybe doing a little beyond, they even say, man, it is fun when I do that. You're telling me I can grow that fun exponentially? Absolutely. And of course, you get to be a blessing to the kingdom. You get to be a blessing to the community. And it's just a fantastic thing.
Yeah, I find it interesting. You remind me or bring up a couple of things that in our conversations we have with many of our clients who are on one end of the spectrum to the other. We have some clients that are very faithful in tithing, and meaning 10%. But they've never really entertained the idea of going beyond that. Even they're capable of going beyond that, and they in their mind they just think, you know, God says 10%, I do 10%, and that's it. And yet they honestly have the ability, and also through tools that NCF has and the IRS have created, where you can literally give half, a little bit more than half of your income every year and get a deduction from it. Like the opportunities are great, but I do think it always, to your point, it always starts in the heart, because we got tools and mechanics on how to do it, but it always starts with the why, and the how we can get to once we understand the why. And what I love about what you all are bringing up in this book is when you talk about the education and exploration of how much of that isn't just the education exploration of the mechanics, it's also the education exploration on God's Spirit stirring in one's heart. And so when you all have met people and you've come into contact with people and you have this conversation, you know, can you think of like a moment or two where, you know, or maybe the way you phrase it or something? I mean, someone's listening to this going, yeah, I've got the tithe down, But you're intriguing me with this. Unpack that just a little bit.
Sure. So if you look at the experience that the average Christian will go with wealthy Christians, because that's kind of who we're focusing on today and who NCF works with, they have, for the most part, had an experience where the conversation about generosity and giving, they have been reactive to someone else asking them for money. Okay. Or they have been reactive to a teaching on tithing. Mm-hmm. But they haven't personalized it about their own life. Mm-hmm. So it's not as meaningful as to when they realize that God has put this opportunity in them to be exploited. Mm. So there's some very simple things. You know, when I got saved, within a week, the pastor who was attending his church and who was instrumental in me getting saved, he said, he gave me a bunch of Christian books because, I mean, I had an MBA in finance at the time. He said, I know you'll understand a lot about money, but I don't know if you understand about God's perception of money because he's given you a gift when it comes to money, but he didn't give it to you so you would become rich. He gave it to you so you would become generous. Mm. And that statement right there is probably a completely new paradigm to 90-some-odd% of people who would have the conversation. So once you realize that God's view is, like Steve said, that tithing is the training wheels, and there really is a bigger world out there than the number one, in my experience, you need to get around other believers who are really not stuck in that model, but are trying to see how much it's they could give, not just to be, you know, have it be an accounting function. Because being, you know, what we do as humans is we normalize things. So if you live in a church and your peer group is a group of people who stretch to tithe, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But that's normal for you. You don't feel challenged by that at all. But when you start hearing stories like a generous giving about people, like there was one story about a youth pastor who invented an app, and he was making a youth pastor's salary, and this app is making millions of dollars a year, and he gave it away because he said, well, you know, I was doing God's work. Like, you hear those kind of things, and you see the joy of people who are giving 20, 30, 50% of their income, giving all of their wealth away, is phenomenal. And, you know, as a frame of reference, well, you know, you have the secular world, you have all the billionaires signing this pledge where they're going to give half their money away where they're alive. Where are the Christians? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the non-believers, they don't have, they're not building up treasures in heaven, they're building art museums and that kind of a thing. We have an opportunity to impact eternity with our money, and there's no better investment. And being around people who have that view, it's contagious.
Yeah, it's a contagious, because you're, so in that, you talk about, in your book, you talk about these five steps that help you grow in your gift of giving. One of the things you talk about is making a giving plan. And you reference in there how Ron Blue, who Steve referenced earlier, it was a big influence in his life, that says families that have a giving plan typically will give five times more than families that don't have a giving plan. Does that mean that those families are five times poorer because they gave more of it away? Or is it that they're actually have found really great ways, the plan has actually created opportunities for them to be just better at giving? So talk about that giving plan. That intrigues me.
It's the latter, right? So so it's not like, you know, now they're destitute and living in poverty. Although I love the story of that youth pastor.
Yeah.
He just decided, I was living fine before.
Right.
And I'll live fine continually. But when you think about that whole plan, it includes, first of all, what's the Bible say about this? So I love that Doug gets saved, and before he has an opportunity to read and to hear anybody talk like this, his pastor comes up to him and says these incredible, powerful words that changes his paradigm, right? Mm-hmm. And then he gives him, hey, here's the biblical basis for it. Like, Wall Street's got great books, school has great books on finance, we can figure out how to make investments and turn a profit, and all that's great. But what if we said, hey, what does the Lord want you to do? Mm-hmm. So you find that biblical basis. Well, we know this, that one of the things Larry Burkett and Howard Dayton figured out, there are about 2,300 verses in the Bible that deal with money. About 31,000 verses in the Bible, 1 in 14 verses deal with money. God obviously thought it was important. And you think about, like, it's the one thing that has the ability to pull us away from the Lord is just comfort, convenience, right? And I think about the story of the bigger barns. You know, you fool, right? You know, they just think, and to whom much is given, much is required. And it's just such a great reminder. But then you go, what is your purpose? What's your purpose in giving? Now, do you have a purpose when it comes to spending money? Probably not. Makes you feel good temporarily, whatever it may be.
Right.
But man, there's something about giving. And I love this idea. And Doug, you just mentioned it, that a lot of times a ministry will say, and it's fine. I'm not begrudging the ministries. The ministry have they have a ministry. They're trying to serve the inner city. They're trying to save unborn children. They're trying to work with students, whatever it may be. But they're going to tell you, hey, here's what I think you should give to. What if instead of being reactive in your giving, you were proactive and you said, hey, I'm going to make a plan. What are the things that we and our family really admire? What are the things that we really want to help out with? Is it homelessness? Is it hunger? Is it salvation? Whatever it may be. It could be all the above. It could be a variety of things. But going in and when you have that plan, allows you to have a purpose, and it actually makes it easier to say no. And you don't have to feel guilty. It's okay. There are plenty of great ministries just in South Florida. You might have the number. It's thousands. They're all wonderful and they all have great hearts and they're all doing great things. But then we talk about, hey, make a commitment to giving in line with your wealth. So we go beyond the tithe, goes back to that plan. We go beyond the tithe. And then you plan, like, what's the plan for continuing to grow? It's not like, okay, we made all these gifts in year one. We're done. No, this should be lifelong, and you're constantly asking God, praying to God, God, what else do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? Because to your point before, and I assume you were being a little facetious, like, hey, are these people like five times poor now?
Right.
I'm not a health and wealth guy. I'm not a prosperity gospel guy. I'm a stewardship guy. But I have observed, I have seen, when people are generous, God continues to pour more on them because he can trust them. And then now you're going to have more to give. And so you kind of figure that piece out. And then, of course, you create that giving team. We talked about that a little bit before.
Okay. We have much to talk about, and we're going to go into a part two here. And for those of you that are listening, we encourage you to join us here for part two, because we're going to go a little bit deeper in the giving plan that is being talked about, because I think it's great to have the idea of one, and then practically let's actually do one. Your book obviously helps guide us through what it means to set one up, and then talking about the team around you, NCF can certainly help in those kinds of things. And I know that both Doug and Steve are also available for coaching. So if you're a family here that's listening to this and going, no, we actually need to sit down with someone and walk through what it is to set up a giving plan, I know they've been super generous about saying, hey, we'd be more than happy to sit down and have that conversation with somebody. But I also want, on part two, is I'd love to talk about a little bit how you involve your family in giving, because oftentimes I've seen giving done in isolation, where it's maybe just the husband or just the wife or the mom or the dad, versus going, hey, how do we actually involve the family? And I know you both have done that. So we'll come back and talk about that. But my takeaway here is this book, A Generous Life, is practical. And you've talked about these five steps of developing a giving plan, and you've teased us a little bit about what it is to actually do a giving plan. And so until next time, let us be a generous life Christians. Let us talk about what it means to live that generous life, and let's live it. So God bless you, and thanks. And again, thank you, Doug. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for joining NCF's The Generous Life podcast. We mentioned in our podcast that if you'd like a free copy of the book written by Doug Tuhill and Steve Scalise entitled A Generous Life, we would ask you to call our NCF office at 954-771-0110. Again, 954-771-0110. If you'd like to know more about anything we do here at NCF, invest, equip, unite, please visit our website at ncfgiving.com/South Florida. Again, thank you for joining The Generous Life.